Hallelujah! Christ is risen. It is good to have you listening in once again at Grace Lutheran Church. We are still under stay-at-home orders and suspending services. Again, these sermons available on gracelutherangv.org. Also, live stream services for the moment continue at our Facebook page, Grace Lutheran Church, Grass Valley, California. Minimal stripped-down services, but we do continue them there for those who wish to tune in live at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary Magdalene stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Does it strike you as odd that two of our three scripture texts this morning are traditional readings for the Christian funeral? Is it weird to you that on the day in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, you hear texts so often read at a funeral? It shouldn't be. In fact, the very reason these scripture texts are appointed for the Christian funeral is precisely because of their proclamation of the bodily resurrection of the dead. Not only for our Lord, but also for every Christian. You don't often think of the resurrection of the body being proclaimed in the Old Testament. But look at Job's words. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." In my flesh, I shall see God. What greater proclamation of hope and resurrection is there than those words? Job spoke those words centuries before Christ Jesus walked the earth. Yet he knew the promise of the Christ to come. So how could Mary and the disciples be so wrong then? How could they not see, standing in that open and empty tomb, that Christ was risen from the dead? Because they were grieving. Because they were mourning. Because they were in pain at the death of their beloved friend and teacher. They just could not grasp the fact that this one, Jesus, had risen from the dead. That his body had come back to life, and that he had walked right out of the tomb in which they had laid him on Friday evening. You do the same thing, whether it's in church or at the funeral home. You're numb. You're in tears. You're in shock even. You hear the scripture. You try to sing a few hymns. And then you go to the cemetery. You hear the words of St. Paul spoken over the casket. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. But those words sound so unrealistic. It seems so foolish to think that the one who has ceased to live in the body will one day take up that flesh again, resurrected, glorified, and eternal, imperishable, and immortal. You heard St. Paul, though. Behold, I tell you a mystery. As with baptism and with the Lord's Supper, the resurrection of the body is a mystery. That which is hidden in the mind of God our Father to be gift to you in His way and in His time. Disbelieve all you want, but the word of the Lord stands. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Society wants you to think differently, though. Life is over when one dies in the body. Sure, their souls drift up and live on among the clouds. The dead live on in your memories. And you'll celebrate their lives as that which once was so robust. But you'll only pay lip service to the life everlasting. Because dead people do not live again in the body. That's what you know. That's what you are sure of. That's what your experience has shown you. And that's why Mary Magdalene is so certain in her statement. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. She knows that's the only possibility. Behold, I tell you a mystery. She trusted her own reason and her own senses over the clear word of God, and it left her in darkness and in grief and in sorrow. The disciples, too. They were just as certain of the Lord's death and its finality. Once again, the prophets come to the rescue. St. Paul quotes Isaiah and Hosea, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The living and active word of God will not let death have the final word. The Lord himself goes down into death to overturn it. The same word that proclaimed, "Let there be," for the 6 days of creation, has said to death, "Your power is no more. Your hold on my children is tenuous, and it will slip away." Our Lord needs only to say the word, and the dead live again. You've seen it with the son of the widow of Nain, with Jairus' daughter, with Lazarus. Three times the dead came to life at a word from the Word made flesh. Because the Lord God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, has gone into death for you and come to life again as the first fruits of the dead, you may be confident that you too will do the same. The promise has been made to you. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, when the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? What do you think that death will be able to do when the Lord of life appears on the last day and the trumpet sounds? You already know what will happen. St. Paul has spoken. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. You will take your places with all the resurrected, with all the glorified, with all the imperishable and immortal. You will enter into that place that your Lord has prepared for you. When you hear that trumpet and that mighty voice call, you will awaken just as our Lord Jesus did, glorified. And you will say, in my flesh, I see God. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.